I'm Deborah Robinson, and I have the conference on marriage, which is the good, the bad, and the ugly. So, Lord, I just want to lift up this time to you, Lord, and say thank you, thank you, thank you, because you are the God of all flesh, and you know our beginning from our ending, and you are the one that wrote the book. You are our Father, you are our instructor, you are all in all. Lord, help us not just to say that you are our all in all, but to know in our hearts and to live it and to share it and bring others into it. In the name of Jesus, our Messiah. Amen.
Amen.
Well, first of all, as I was doing this, the conference title already is Faith in Marriage. And then it says, Arise from the Dead. And then I just put a little thing on there, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we have it all. We have the very good, have the bad, sometimes the very bad. And then we have this downright ugly stuff. And I'm not speaking on because I have a perfect marriage, because I don't. But I'm working on it. And one of the things I'm working on is my mouth. Asking God to keep my mouth closed, because you know the Bible says even a fool is considered wise when they keep their mouth closed. So sometimes, so we can be wise women, we just need to go and just say nothing. And sometimes I think that's the hardest thing for us to do, is just be quiet. Well, the Bible tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, which has already been shed for us, and by the word of our testimony. And so that I can just kind of give a testimony of, you know, what God has put into me for this, and maybe a little something funny, something serious about what's going on in my own life. And hopefully at the end, maybe we can have question, answer, input, because we're all in this together, believe it or not. My marriage affects you. Your marriage affects the woman over here. Our marriages affect the people in China. So this is not like a little cell that does nothing. We're part of a whole body. Amen. And so we have to look at it from God's perspective. First, we know that our husbands are a part of our marriage, but we can't work on our husbands. And we have to know that the only thing we could do to work on them is pray.
Amen.
You know, we can't fix them, because when we first get married, they're perfect to us. You know, it's like, oh my goodness, I just love them. I'll do anything for it. Oh my goodness, we're going to have such a great time. But then after a while, we decided, you know, the perfect man needs to be fixed. And we just can't fix him. And sometimes we're in our marriages and we do feel alone. And sometimes not only do we feel alone, we feel like that we're the only ones that are going through what we're going through, and nobody else would understand. And I found that if you pray and ask God to give you one person in particular, somebody that's your own age, somebody that's older, that you can actually talk to, not for them to fix you, not for you to fix them, but just to talk to. Maybe you just need to cry. Maybe you need, oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, this is perfect. Oh, can I give you a hug? Thank you. This is good. Thank you. I was like, okay, Lord, I'm not going to complain. You know, I could use something of you. Thank you so much. Thank you. That's really good. Amen. Okay. Okay. We feel like we're all alone, but we're really not. Ask somebody, you know, that's older than you to talk to you, or just go and ask them questions. Women that are older, that are married, they have tons and tons of wisdom. Listen to older members in your family. Sometimes you don't really need to ask questions. Sometimes you just need to listen and find out something. And pray. Ask God to give you someone that is a kindred spirit. Because believe it or not, all of us are believers, but everybody can't deal with certain things. Not a good thing, not a bad thing. It's just the way it is. And we have to realize that maybe I can't deal with what you're dealing with. And, you know, and I might be like, okay, I can't deal with that. So ask God. Seek God's help and finding someone that you can really, really talk to, that you can pray with, that you can cry with, that you can laugh with, and that you can just pray for your marriages and your husbands. And coming to that, we must bring our marriage and our thinking to another level in what marriage is all about. Marriage is not our idea. It was God's idea. Amen. From the very beginning. Yeah. And his plan was for us to have unity and for one another, but it was also an example. In Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, "It is not good for man to live alone. I will make him a helpmeet." Here we are. We're our help. We're the helpmeet. Mm-hmm. When we got married, we entered into a covenant with God. We entered it with our husbands, but we entered into this covenant with God because he is the originator of this covenant. And on the sixth day when he created man, guess what he said at the end of the sixth day? He said, "It is good." So anytime you're feeling bad, just say, "God, on the sixth day, he said, it is good and I am good." We're good in God, not in ourselves, because in ourselves we know that we can do like the Sarah thing and try and fix a situation, and then we have the child of the covenant, and then we have the child of the bondwoman. So we need to keep with the covenant of God at all times. The first thing is that we need to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and our strength. And the Bible says to love our neighbor as ourselves. Love your husband as yourself. You know, There's many, many times that we kind of think that, how can I do that? Well, in God, we can do it. In ourselves, it is impossible, because the perfect man that we loved and we brought into our life, now we feel that, oh my goodness, this is happening. But we're the same way on the other side. He's like, oh, this perfect woman that I have, you know, maybe, you know, there's some things. So it's, you know, it's both sides. We don't see that side because we feel, oh, wow, you know, I'm just doing it all right. But it's on both sides. It really is. Marriage is a reckoning the world back to God. That's the whole thing. Because God married Israel. There is a marriage. There's a marriage in the world. And we have to look at it from God's perspective and not through our feelings and our emotions. We have to look at it from God's perspective. And he created us for his good pleasure. For his good pleasure. And sometimes we might say, "Lord, I really don't feel like a good pleasure right now." But that's okay. Because that's why Jesus died. So that the blood would be shed. And we could be cleansed from all this stuff that we don't feel that is a good pleasure to God. The world patterns marriage after the flesh. And God is not all about flesh. He made us flesh, but he is spirit. Amen. And he said that those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We are flesh. We live in these fleshly bodies. And the fleshly marriages of the world are after sex, money, and power, mm-hmm. which result in confusion, disrespect to our husbands, and then ultimate divorce. In Romans 12:1-2, it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So we have to submit ourselves to do that. Not submit our husbands, but submit ourselves. And I'm talking about the wife side of the marriage, not the husband side. So it's not like I'm saying, "Well, what about the husband? What about the husband?" Hey, yes, you know, it's between us and God. God has to deal with them. We pray for them. We fast for them. But we can't make them do. We can't make them have the will. We just have to be there like we're supposed to be. Help me be there. You know, the half of it was like, was there.
was just there. So we are here. Not here, not there, not there, not there, but right here. Help me. Walking alongside. And praise God. You know, Jesus said, if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit will not come. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he's very gentle. He doesn't impose himself. He doesn't muscle himself around, but he stays with us. And we have to come alongside of our husbands and be a helpmate. Not muscle our way, but bombard heaven with prayer and supplication and fasting. Because when things go bad, that's all you got. And what all we have is God, and that's a good thing. And never, ever forget it. The church has started following the patterns of the world because there's more divorce now than there has ever been. I mean, in some cases, I understand there is really, really good reasons. If a woman, I'm not telling anybody to stay in an abusive situation. I don't even want to go there. But in the situations where, well, we just, I kind of, you know, we fell out of love. And, you know, we've been together for years and there's no interest there or in anything. I wonder how interested God, we have made God. You know, is he just like, oh, wow, they just love me? No, we go about our way and we get busy. And God is saying, hello, hello. So, you know, just like we are to be with God, let us be with our husband and given attention and things like that. Mm-hmm. But the world is has the pattern. The church, unfortunately, is following after it. And this is where we have to stand up and arise from the dead. Because going to the divorce court of the world is not God's plan. It is not God's plan at all. Jesus said, for the hardness of your heart, this is why this has happened. So we don't want to have a hard heart. And prayer and fasting can change things. It changes things more than we realize. And when you're praying, don't talk against what you see. The Bible says, call those things that are not as though they were. So what the eyes see is not what we're praying. We are praying God's word, which will result in him performing it. He said he honors his word above his name. And he will perfect those things which concern us. And the heart of his children do concern him. So remember that God is on your side. He is on your side. He hears our prayers. He sees our tears. He sees the hard work we're doing. We don't think that. And sometimes we might be complaining and grumbling and things like that. But we must stand up and we must arise in faith. And in Hebrews 1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And by this, the elders obtain a good report. And if we go down to verse 5, it said, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we can go around and think that we're doing all the outside things, and everybody else will say, oh, praise the Lord, sister, everything is good. Oh, my goodness. But if you're not working in faith, that's between you and God, and he knows it. You've got to, faith is not something that you necessarily are seeing. You could be walking around with a smile on your face, and you could be crying on the inside, but you're saying, God, I thank you, because you are going to perform your word. You are going to perform your word. And on our outside, we can bring it to a smile even in the midst of trouble. It says, sing a psalm, sing a praise hymn to yourself, making melody in your heart to the Lord. It says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So when you start singing and praising the Lord, allow God to fill you up and push out the hurt, push out the rejection. Because remember, our marriage and what we are doing is affecting our unsaved neighbors. Whether they live in our neighborhood, whether we take the metro, whether we're on an airplane,
whether we go on a vacation, whether on our workplace, it is affecting our neighbor. Who is our neighbor? Anybody in the world. Mm-hmm. So whether you see it, each marriage is affecting someone. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I'm going to get to the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good part of it, being in love, being together, sharing responsibilities, excited, anticipating romance all the time, and having real good sex. Hey, that's what it's about. That's why I got married. I said, hey, I can be a good friend to somebody, but I want to be with my husband. And I know some of you feel like that too. The bad part, you feel like you're not wanted, maybe. You get upset over little things. You let these little foxes come in. And things come up to interfere with the romance. Working late, children come along, financial issues, family problems, and now sex has become a duty. Okay, let's go. You know, it's no longer, okay, honey. You know, tonight is the time. You know, but you know, it's like, all right, what time do you want me to be upstairs? Okay, I'll be there. So, you know, that's not a good situation, you know. The ugly. We don't want to be kind, let alone trying to be loving, you know, or even say, okay, 9 o'clock tonight, fine. We're not even in the time. We don't even want to see that part of the house. You feel like you can do things better by yourself. We start and get a little selfish, get a nasty attitude, maybe start fussing. Maybe even screaming about things. My goodness! I knew if I was here, this would have been done a different way. You're in the room by yourself, but he's in the next room. So, of course, you're talking to him and not yourself. Okay? So, if you all have your Bibles, let's go to Proverbs 25. And Proverbs, every time my attitude would get bad for some... I think this scripture was put in every section of the Bible except Proverbs, and in Proverbs for me, because I felt like, okay, Lord, my attitude is really raunchy, I guess, because I'm reading it again. This is Proverbs 25:24. It says, it is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than... with a brawling woman in a wide house.
Amen.
And then there's another one. It says it's better to be in the wilderness, which is the desert, than to be with a contentious and angry woman. So this is our part of it, women, not the husband's part. This is our part. So it seems like we have a lot of mouth, a lot of attitude. And so it's the attitude that has to come back to what God wants. You know, we need to be imitators of the Lord and not imitators of the situation that we are going through. There's also, after having a nasty attitude, you start complaining about everything. Is that right? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. We're going to start at verse 1. It says, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank that spirit of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Jesus the Messiah. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were for our example, to the extent we should not lust after evil things, as also as also lusted. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them, as it was written, the people sat down and ate and drank and rose up to play. Neither let fornication, as some of them committed, and fall in, and some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. The next part of this is not an easy part to say, because sometimes we get to the point where it gets really ugly and we just start turning our back on our husbands. And maybe somebody's at work that says, "Hey, I like your hair. Did you get a cut?" You know, or maybe the neighbor sees you and he says, "Wow, I noticed you got that new truck last week." Mm-hmm. Or, you know, maybe you're in the internet and something happens. And maybe your heart starts turning to someone else. That's not good. That is not good at all. And sometimes it's a hidden thing. And if that has started happening, then pray, ask God to take it away, and then don't go to that thing again. The Bible says, turn around, pass by it, don't look on it, and don't listen to it. And so that has to be your will. If any of you, or if you know someone who has been tempted to go down the road of being, you know, of cheating on their husband, God does not want us to cheat on him. Mm-hmm. He said, how can we be married to a harlot and still worship him? Mm-hmm. Our marriage is about the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. It is about the bigger picture. We all say, yes, Lord, I'm going to bring in my neighbors. Yes, Lord. What is your mindset in your marriage? I'm not saying just because everything is hunky-dory that, you know, that you're going around praising the Lord. But even when it's not and your neighbors see it, what is your attitude? How are we bringing in the world through our marriage? Everybody knows that everybody has situations, but that's not the problem. They want to know, how are you reacting to this situation? That's what will bring people into the kingdom. Our marriage is about bringing people into the kingdom. I know we all thought it was about hugging and kissing and loving and making babies and going out and having dinner and going on vacations. It is all about that. But it's part of a bigger picture. It's part of a bigger picture. Because if your marriage and your marriage and your marriage, if we start doing that, and then you bring somebody that's not saved and say, oh, I see that, you know, things are going okay. You know, what is it that you all have? They're going to start coming in, and then they're going to start loving and hugging and kissing, and you're going to get them in the Word, and it's going to start like wildfire, just like the world brought in the flesh, the sex, and the confusion. We have to put that out, because marriage is about the bigger picture God has. It is unity, reconciling us back to him. And he doesn't want us to go by ourselves. He wants us to bring the people with us in our marriages. In our marriages. So that part of it is that murmuring and complaining is a bad thing. And that is something, even in my own life, I'm like, okay, Lord, I said it once. Okay, I won't say it again. Then I'll start, even when I was shaving yesterday, I got so angry with myself, and I'm driving, and I was like, Lord, I'm so mad at myself. How come I just couldn't be quiet? It's like I felt like, I had to say this one little thing, not a whole lot, but I said, if you say something once, that's okay. But once you say it twice, you know, the continual dripping, the continual dropping, you know, the wide house, the desert, you know, the scripture. I would get up tomorrow morning, I'd read, okay, you're brawling. and your husband needs to be in the desert because he's better off. Yeah, but you know, seriously, we really, really have to watch our murmuring and complaining. We're helpmates. We're not gods. We are not God. God said the first commandment. What is it? What is it? Thou shalt what? Have no other. He just placed us as a helpmate, not the God maker or the God fixer, just to help me. Okay? God is God in our marriages, and God has to be first. He has to be first, or we're going to be in trouble. We're going to be in trouble. Some of us, you know, we have children, and everything that our children see is what they will imitate. And if you think about some of the things that you've done, some of the things that you've said, do you want that imitated? You know, I mean, I've done and I've said some things, and I'm like, oh my goodness. For instance, somebody said to me, said, do you know your daughter looks just like you? Now, that's a good thing, you know. Mm-hmm. But in my attitude sometimes, somebody say, yeah, I kind of see, you know, one of your children, they kind of act like you. I was like, my mother would say that, and I would be like, okay, can she see anything good? She has to see the bad part of it. You know, so what we're doing affects our neighbors, affects our children. Mm-hmm. It affects generations down the road. Mm-hmm. This, what we are doing is not for our own pleasure right here. Our decisions, our actions go from generation to generation to generation. And if Jesus so doesn't come back for 1,000 generations, claim your families to the 1,000th generation for him. Do the action now for him to build up the kingdom now for him in your family, in the world, right now. You don't have to be, we don't have to have a whole lot of money. We don't have to have anything to have a good attitude.
That's right.
We have to have a decision.
That's right.
A decision to say, God, I will arise. I will do this for you. Not try. Not a try thing. Try is an excuse that in case you don't want to. You say, well, I really tried. No. I watched this movie called Amistad. I don't know if you've ever seen it. But where the people, the men that came over from Africa, they were not slaves. But they had to get a lawyer. And the lawyer said to him, he said, I'm going to try. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to do my best. He said, what is try? We have do.
Yeah.
It is do. Yeah. God says do, do, do. He doesn't say try. Yeah. Try is an excuse. Try is murmuring. Try is complaining. Because in that way we can kind of get off the hook. But we say, God, you help me do. Not try. I'm trying. I want to get that thing out of my vocabulary, because a try thing means that, well, I tried, so I'm giving up. No, we have to do it. And we have to do it to the end. God is not trying to save the world. He is. We are imitators of him, so we are. He said we are his express image here in the earth. All of us. Different colors, different kind of hair, different ages, different sizes, different languages. We are his expression here in the earth. Marriage is about the bigger picture. It really is. Our children are about the bigger picture. It's not about, you know, in your four walls with your car and down the driveway and that's it. No. Everything you do is about either bringing people into the kingdom, telling people that, well, the kingdom is good for me, but I don't have time to share it with you. And sometimes my attitude is nasty, so I really can't be with you today. You know, and we get an excuse to have a bad attitude. We cannot have a bad excuse. We cannot have a bad attitude. I said bad excuse, right? We cannot have an excuse. Excuse me. Okay. This is something that, you know, talking to my husband, our husbands are more fragile than we think. You know, sometimes they come off like,
yeah, I can do this. You know, they throw the boys around, jump in the car.
You know, they're underneath the cars. They're into the technology stuff. They're out to war. They're doing this. They're doing that. But they are fragile. There are things that happened to them when they were little that they were never able to get over. And maybe mom wasn't there. Maybe mom didn't realize that they needed to be walked through a hurt, walked through something that happened to them. Maybe they didn't know how to speak to it. But our husbands are fragile than we know. Yeah, they come off like, yeah, I can do it. Mm-hmm. It's all right. I got it covered. And probably in the inside of them, they're like, oh my goodness, I don't know what to do this time. And they're stressed. And the stress now is more so than it was 10 years ago in a different area because of the way that things are going on in the world. You know, there's uncertainty about a lot of things, you know. Uncertainty about our country, our jobs, you know, what's going on. There is uncertainty. And our husbands, they know, the ones that are safe, they know that they are the head of the family. They don't want to let us down. They really don't. But sometimes they don't know how to say, come on, honey, I need you to get on the bandwagon with me. And I need you to sit here and I need you to pray for me. And I need you to do this because I'm falling apart. Mm-hmm. If they do that, if they let anybody else know that they're doing that, they will be made fun of. My husband was in the military. And I take offense to when they said, yeah, you know what? I'm not going to use any, you know, bad, really bad thing. They said, you know, your husband is a punk. And I said, he is not. And, I mean, my blood is boiling. How dare you say that? You know, they're all laughing and everything. Yeah, man, when this happened and that happened. And I'm like, I can't deal with that. You know, but they laugh about it. The thing, and then they come home. They have these things on their mind that what really happened really wasn't funny. But they have to take it because everybody else is laughing and everybody else, you know, last week it was your husband that got it. Yeah. Last week it was your husband. Last week it was mine. And 2 weeks from now it'll be yours. And then they have to go home and then they face us and we're like, okay, so here's this strong man that we have. They're fragile. And we don't always understand. You know, the Bible says, husbands, know your wives. But I think we can turn that around. And wives, let's start getting to know our husbands. We have a responsibility because the priesthood was not just put on, after Jesus died, the priesthood was not just put on our husbands. We are all priests unto God. So there is no separation in the spiritual world. None whatsoever. We can come to God boldly into the holy place. And, you know, just like this morning, Debbie, I don't even remember who said it. It's like, Lord, touch my lips with the coal. With the coal. Touch my lips, Lord. Because our lips need to be speaking life into our husbands, not death. And sometimes we don't even mean to do it. I'm not talking about, you know, always being mean and nasty. But sometimes we don't even know that we're speaking hurtful things into them. And sometimes if we're quiet, you know, we won't do it. We won't speak those hurtful things. So really, really ask God, Lord, help me to know my husband. Not just see him on the outside, but to know his heart and how he is hurting or how I can help him even more. I'm not talking about being a doormat. I'm talking about spiritually helping your husband. Because our husbands are the leaders in this world. And you know what makes the head turn? It says when a man has a good day on his job, if he's the CEO, the whole company thrives. If he walks from home and he's having a bad day, he gets passed all the way down. So, well, what happened here? So we are the ones
that are affecting the world, mm-hmm. whether we realize it or not. Marriage is not about us. It is about the big picture. And we need to keep that in mind. Yes, you have to be loving and kind, but remember, it's also to reach men and women. And marriage is for the kingdom of God. So we need to just keep that in mind. I'm just going to hold my time. I don't want to go too much over. Okay, I have a few more minutes. Okay. God sent Jesus here to reconcile us back to Him. And we're called to the ministry of reconciliation. We don't always have to be right. And what I mean is that you might know that what you're saying, what you're doing is right, but that will not reconcile you to your husband. Sometimes we don't need to be right. We need to be reconciled. It's okay to say, okay, Lord, I really believe that I'm right, but I have to surrender this over to you. Because if we keep being right in everything, our husbands are not going to hear God. Because our voice is in their ear. If we're quiet and we're just reconciled to the situation, and when I mean that, you can be praying in your heart. You don't have to be like really agreeing. Just praying in your heart, having a good attitude, let God deal with it. Case in point, years ago, my husband, our car was messed up, and he said, well, let's take out a loan. And I said, no, I really don't. I don't really feel that. Yeah, let's do it. I really feel that we just need to do this, and we just need to get this new car. I'm really not feeling it. The Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you to stop this arguing. So the next day, he brought the papers. I said, okay, I said, well, let's fill out the papers and then you can, you know, carry on with whatever it is. He got the papers, we talked about it, and this is literally what happened to the papers. We talked about them, he put them on an end table in the living room. He stayed there for 3 weeks. I did not move them. I dusted around them. Because I'm not the one that's trying to fix it by taking it away from his mind. He placed it there. That's where it was. But I had said, I don't think that was what we should do. And God said, don't keep talking about it. So I had to be quiet. And sure enough, God worked it out. He said, I don't think we should do that anyhow. And I'm like, oh, wow. Okay, that was good. But so don't try and fix it. Even if it looks like, you know, everything is going to fall under. Your hand is up here in heaven. It is right here in heaven. And you are holding on to God's unchanging hand. And you are saying, God, faith is arising in me. I don't know what's happening, but I do know you are the answer to all of it. You can't make up the answers. You have to know that God is the answer to everything. He is the answer. He is our salvation. He is our helper. He is our healer. And He is our marriage restorer, our marriage healer, and everything else that we need. Our husbands can't do that. They can do some things for us, and that's good. When they do it, praise them, thank them for it. And when they can't, we say, okay, Lord, me and you. Me and you, Lord. Me and you. And say it until it flows out of you joyfully. Don't just say, okay, Lord, it's me and you, because I'm not doing anything. Because the Lord said, yeah, it is me and you, because I'm going to deal with you now. So remember, you know, he says, sometimes he says, you know, if you're not too kind, he says, I will forget what's going on over here and I'll start dealing with you. So do we want to be dealt with by God and then have the process delayed in what we're praying for? No, let's have a good attitude, you know, in God. Commit your life. And he said, commit your life unto him and delight yourself in him and he will bring it to pass. We don't have to worry about bringing it to pass. He will bring it to pass. Have I wanted to go over, let's go to Jeremiah 29:4. Okay, it says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may increase and not diminish. And seek peace of the city whether you have caught where I've caused you to be carried away captive, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace therefore ye shall have peace." Sometimes we feel like we're stuck in a place. We are captive in a place. God says, when you are there, pray for the peace in that place. Pray for it so you will have peace. If you're not willing to give out, how can you get? You have to be willing to give out. And it says, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not the prophets and their diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to their dreams which ye cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord." This is the world giving us all kind of ideas about our marriages, you know, saying that my husband said, "Debbie, did you see this gown on that they were showing, this wedding gown? It was a beautiful corset." Now, to be honest with you, the wedding gown was perfect for her and her husband. But we don't need to be parading as wives half naked to the world. That's not where. That is for our husbands and our husbands alone. It says, "For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name, and I have not sent them. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place." There is something in the word of God that says he will cause things. He will cause it. He didn't say we have to manipulate it, but he will cause it to come. And this is the part we always like. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, and to give you an expected end." That is what God has for us. But while we're in a situation where it seems like we're captive, do not start going back and listening to the world. You pray in that situation. You pray. You fast. You pray some more. You fast some more. You get in a good attitude and you walk with God. If you have to just stay in your house and you just raise up your hands because you don't know what else to do, then you be like Hannah, because her nothing came out of her mouth, but in her heart was seeking after God because she was captive in a place of barrenness. But God brought her forth with a child. So we have to make sure that wherever we are, we pray for peace in that situation, because that's what God's word said. I have the last scripture. Now let's go to Joel 1. I hope these are helping you, ladies.
Yeah.
Joel
1,
verse 4. And sometimes I felt that this was me. Some of you are in here or in my congregation, but my mom came and lived with us, and there was a number of years where it seemed like everything in my family, I felt like my whole family was going to hell in a handbasket. I really did. Except my marriage, My mom didn't. I felt my mom didn't love me. My children seemed to be acting up. My brother and I, we had the worst attitude. My brother's children had moved with, at that particular time, he had divorced her. She moved to Virginia, so they weren't together. And I felt like for 1 year that it wasn't happening. I did a lot of fasting. I did a lot of praying. And little by little, the pieces have come back together. But this part of it, when I read it, it really spoke to me, and I hope it speaks to you. This is that which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left, hath the cankerworm eaten. And that which the cankerworm hath left, the caterpillar hath eaten. You know, it seems like there's just a constant eating away. So one thing after another until, you know, you started with this high corn, and now your ground is not, doesn't even have the nutrients to bring forth anything. Now let's go to, that's the ugly part of it. Let's go to the good part of it. This is Joel 2:25. And it says, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten,
Amen.
The canker, the caterpillar, the palmer.
Amen.
My great army shall be sent among you.
Amen.
So even though sometimes it seems like we're losing everything, God is still God.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
And God is good all the time.
Amen.
And He made us on the sixth day, and He said it is good. And we must say, God, we are good in you.
Yes.
And by faith, I am going to walk by faith and not by sight.
Mm-hmm.
And faith worketh by love.
Yes.
Faith worketh by love. So, if you're not in love with God now, you're not in love with your situation, go get in love with God first.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not telling you not to go home and be in love with your husband. But get in love with God so that He can empower you.
Amen.
Because it is with Him,
yes,
all things and everything we live and move and have our being in Him. Let me just pray, and then I just want to just bless you all. In the book of Numbers, it says that I command Aaron to say these words over you. He said, the Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you, and the Lord make His face to shine upon you, and give you peace. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.